John 1, verse 2 is linked with the first verse, and it gives us the sermon title for this morning of In the Beginning. Let me just read those two verses to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. If you look closely at the structure of these two verses together, you'll notice that the beginning and the end are exactly the same. These two verses together can be referred to as a chiasm. This is a structure that's often used to create emphasis, repetition, or clarification. You see, I have learned something while I've been away. And a chiasm, it presents a series of ideas, and then it repeats them in the opposite order. So, for example, idea A and idea B are then followed by idea B and idea A, which gives you ABBA. No, not Dancing Queen, Waterloo, Mamma Mia, but it gives you a structure. There was one on the screen, or there could be one on the screen. We'll wait and see. Often the chiasm as well, it has another idea in the middle of the repetition. So in this structure, the two ideas, A and B, are repeated in reverse order. However, there is a third idea that is inserted before the repetition. And by virtue of its position, this insertion is emphasized. So we see in our couple of verses this morning, look closely, A, in the beginning, B, with God, C, was God, B, with God again, A, in the beginning. See that? It would have been great on the screen, trust me. I don't know about you, but there must have been some sort of revelation. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this revelation reminds me of a time when I visited South Africa. So in August 2019, the family and I, we went off on holiday to South Africa. We flew from Heathrow to Durban before then driving the length of the country. I don't advise that. It took far too long. Visiting the game reserve in Nambiti was definitely one of the highlights. But one of the other highlights was when we stumbled across a fascinating structure outside a place called Hawick. Now, Hawick is a small town in the middle of nowhere, situated 56 miles from Durban. Now, although it's such a small town, it has a firm place in South African history, because Hawick is where Nelson Mandela was captured by police in 1962. So why am I telling you this? Well, in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the capture, a monument was built. And this monument was made up of 50 different sized steel columns. See it now. Each of the columns... Ooh, ooh, ooh! Next one. Oh, yes! This monument is made up of 50 different sized steel columns. And each of the columns represent the leaders 27 years behind bars. Now, if you see the monument from the roadside, there's not really much to look at. But if you park up and then walk down towards it, standing in a specific place, then the steel columns suddenly reveal the face. I'm clicking, so it'll have to be you at the back. There we are. The face of Nelson Mandela. It is simply stunning. In fact, it's jaw-dropping. It's an incredible feat of engineering. And whatever you might think of Mandela, the place is very moving. And this encounter, my encounter with this image of Mandela, was stunning. It softened my heart. Perhaps you've seen something that has stunned you, and it softened your heart. Whatever that might have been, picture it in your mind now. I'll give you a second. Now, imagine how much more stunning our encounter with Jesus will be. Well, John begins his gospel by stunning us with his description of Jesus Christ. Notice you look further ahead into the passage. There's no mention of Jesus by name until we reach verse 17. Yet it becomes clear right away that John is talking about Jesus. John's encounter of Jesus is, in many ways, is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Perhaps that's why the Gospel of John comes after the other three in the Bible. Perhaps John's account is written in view of what the previous three had said. Well, Matthew begins his account with a genealogy of Jesus. He shows us that Jesus came from Abraham through Adam. And he also demonstrates that he is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. And then Mark shows us that, that Jesus came from Nazareth, demonstrating that Jesus is a servant. Then Luke shows that Jesus came from Adam, demonstrating that Jesus is the perfect man. John is different. Rather than beginning with the story of Jesus' birth, John shows us that Jesus came from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God. But it's wrong of us to think that John completes the story of Jesus. John wrote that the story of Jesus is so big that it can never be completed. If you flick ahead to John 21, verse 25 tells you, Jesus did many things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The story of Jesus Christ is too big to comprehend. It will never be completed. Therefore, John sets out to tell us the most important things about Jesus. Now, it took John over 3 years to figure out who Jesus really was. But he doesn't want his readers to take that length of time. He wants his readers to know who Jesus really is within these first five verses. He wants to have it in our minds right from the beginning that Jesus is God, which leads to our first point this morning. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, yeah. Begins his account with stunning revelation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Right, we'll start again. I'm joking. In the beginning was the Word. So John begins his account with this stunning revelation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. These three words, in the beginning, take us right back to the very start. Where have we seen them before? Well, it takes us right back to the start of creation. Takes us back to Genesis 1, verse 1. Moses begins Genesis 1 by confronting us with the majesty of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. And in the same way, John confronts us with the majesty of Jesus Christ. John wants us to stand in awe of Jesus as God. He wants us to stand in awe of the one who reveals the unseen God to us. In the same way, a word reveals an unseen thought, which leads us to the Word. The most important thing to know about the Word is found in John 1:14. Phil read it for us. He finished the reading for us on that verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling place among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word here refers to Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Word of God. He's the living message, a definition of God the Father. And then sandwiched between these two statements, in the beginning and the Word, comes the verb was. So the first part reads, in the beginning was the Word. It indicates that at the beginning of the universe, the Word already was in existence. It was not something new. So John tells us that there was never a time when the Word was not. And then John also specifies that Jesus did not become God or rise to the level of God because Jesus Christ was already God right from the very beginning. this opening statement should really hit you right between the eyes. It's stunning. You should be left in no doubt as to who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. So if Jesus is God, why didn't John just say that? Why did he call Jesus the Word? Well, John describes Jesus as the Logos, meaning the Word of God. And this is a Greek word. It's a term used in Greek philosophical discussion. Now, John ministered in Ephesus, so his audience may well be familiar with that term already. And there'd also have been some ethnic Jews there in the audience too. They might too have been aware of that term through their Jewish traditions. But there are two more significant reasons why John chose the term the Word. Firstly, he uses the term for Jesus because it links back to the Old Testament. And then secondly, because John fills out the meaning of this term throughout his gospel. So if we are to understand what John means by referring to Jesus as the Word, then our thoughts can't be controlled by Greek philosophy or Jewish tradition. Instead, they should be directed towards the Old Testament and John's gospel. John, in his gospel, calls Jesus the Word. He had come to see the words of Jesus as the truth of God. He had come to see the person of Jesus as the truth of God. Through his arrival, through his teaching, through his death and resurrection, John saw Jesus as the final and decisive message of God. Through Jesus, John reveals the truth to us. And John confirms that again Jesus confirms that in John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me." There can be no misunderstanding here. Jesus is the Word. Jesus, the Word, was there at the beginning and was with God, which leads us to our second point this morning. The Word was with God. Let's focus our attention on that part of the first verse. You're probably thinking, we're supposed to be looking at verse 2, Ben. But they're much of the same. So having identified that the Word was there in the beginning, before the start, we now can come to an understanding that the Word was with God at the start. Not only did the Word exist in the beginning, but he existed in the closest possible connection with the Father. And we get further clarification of this in our focus verse, verse 2. In verse 2, John repeats the first two phrases of John 1. And he does this for emphasis and to make sure we understand what he's saying. The Word is not an impersonal idea or a philosophy, but a person. This person is distinguishable from God, although he is also God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Whilst the Word is God, the Word is distinct from God. Although our limited minds cannot perhaps comprehend the mystery of the Trinity, Scripture is clear that God is one God who exists in three distinct persons. God is the first of these. Jesus Christ is the second, and the third is the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, and yet he is not three gods, but one God. John Piper quotes, "The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God, and he was God. He is God, and he has a relationship with God. He is God, and he is the image of God, perfectly reflecting all that God is and standing forth from all eternity as the fullness of deity and a distinct person. There is one divine essence and three persons." Two of them are mentioned here. The doctrine of the Trinity is hard to understand. It's a mystery to most. But for now, let this straightforward statement sink into your hearts and your mind. In the beginning, Jesus Christ, known as the Word, was with God and was God leads us to our third point this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So some doctrine is hard to understand, but could John have been any simpler? Perhaps he could have described Jesus simply as Jesus and not the Word. So instead, in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Now, John is not merely saying that there is something divine about Jesus. From the word order he uses, he is emphatically affirming that he is God. Now, if we add part of verse 14 into the phrase, it's perhaps even clearer. Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us, was and is God. Let's be loud and clear. We worship Jesus Christ as God. Jesus Christ is Lord. It features right here on our pulpit, and we declare it week in and week out. Jesus Christ is Lord. Together we worship him as the one true God. Now, if you were to meet some Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll tell you differently. They'll tell you that John 1, verses 1 and 2 are a mistranslation. They will tell you it shouldn't read, the Word was God, but instead it should read, the Word was a God. Well, earlier this month, Gareth Pooley and I took part in a charity walk. On a grueling hot day, we trekked 23 miles from Stoke to Rugeley, although the guy waving, thought it was called Ruggley. Upon our journey just outside of Stoke, we met some Jehovah's Witnesses. They walked a few hundred yards with us before leaving us with a message. She quoted from their Bible. I don't recall quite what the scripture verse was, but she did certainly try to be persuasive. Now, I did listen to her. However, I thought it best, given the company, not to respond to the situation. Instead, I turned and prayed that there might be an opportunity for me to share the gospel with the group. No more than 200 yards down that towpath, that opportunity arrived. And our guide, Steve, I still don't know his surname, which is a bit of a shame, without hesitation, turned and asked, what's the difference? What is the difference between what you believe in, Ben, and what they do? What an opportunity. Praise God for it. And praise God for these verses, because I decided randomly to start my prep for this sermon the day before. So I felt slightly better equipped. I began by quoting John 1, verses 1 and 2, and told him that Jesus is God. I told him that Jesus was there in the beginning with God, and he was God. And they went on to say that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus to be a God. They believe that Jesus was not God, but rather Jesus was created by God. They believe he was the first of creation, the highest of the high angels. But John writes verse 3 for us precisely in a way that makes that impossible. Look at verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Notice that John doesn't settle with through him all things were made. That's clear enough, don't you think? Does he really need to say any more? He is not a creature, but instead he's the creator. He created the creatures. Now, a Jehovah's Witness might argue that all things doesn't include Jesus. Jesus was created by the Father, and then the Father created all other things. But John doesn't leave it like that. In addition, he adds, without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything in the world is either him or made. These are the two categories. If it was made, then he made it. If it came from God, then he made it. The creator created. Anything in the category of made, Jesus made it. Therefore, Christ was not made, because before you exist, you can't bring yourself into being. Now, I didn't quite share all that with Steve, and I did go on to share some other verses as well. But I thought it important to express who Jesus really was. This isn't in my sermon notes, but I would really value you praying for Steve. I walked 23 miles on that one day, and it took me a week to recover. This guy walked 270 miles consecutively from Liverpool to London. So it was a bit ridiculous when I started to moan about my feet after 20 miles, because it was pretty sore. He did 270 miles. And I know that he was shared the gospel on day one, and I definitely shared the gospel with him on day four. And I know of two other people who are trigged ready to get them. So he definitely had the gospel shared with him at least half a dozen times by the time he finished. And he did go to church at some point. So remember Steve. Pray for him if you would. Secondly, I shared other verses that clearly proclaim Jesus as God. Isaiah 9 verse 6 and Colossians 1 verse 15 are just two examples. They refer to Jesus as mighty God. And Phil shared as well, Colossians 1:15. He's the image of the invisible God. These are further verses in John's gospel proclaiming Jesus as God. Then in John 10, verse 30, Jesus tells us, I and the Father are one. And then again in John 14, verses 9 through to 11, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Finally, at the conclusion of John's Gospel, look what happens in John 20, verse 28. Turn with me if you would. Thomas sees the risen Jesus and proclaims, my Lord and my God. Now, if you were a Jehovah's Witness, then this would be using God's name in vain. And if this was the case, then surely Jesus would have rebuked him. But instead, Jesus affirmed Thomas's confession in verse 29. Jesus is God, and there is no disputing this. He is who he says he is, and he was with God in the beginning, which leads to our final point this morning. Verse 1 states that the Word was God and not something separate. Then verse 2 further clarifies this statement as true right from the start. Jesus was not a created being, nor a separate being. He was and is identical to God. He himself is God. This is a claim Jesus will make of himself later in his gospel. John 8, 38, for instance, Jesus claimed to speak what he has heard directly from the Father. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your Father. And then again, same chapter, verse 58, Jesus claims to have existed before Abraham. And at the same time, he refers to himself using the name of God, I am. Look what it says. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. And John uses this I am statement on several other occasions in his book. So Jesus, the Word, was there in the beginning with God. The Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us was there at the start. The Word who teaches us, heals us, rebukes us, protects us, loves us, and has died for us was there in the beginning with God. And if that wasn't enough, as we've already seen, John gives us verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Not only was Jesus there at the start of the universe, but he, the Word, also created the universe. God and Jesus are both fully God, but in distinct persons. The Word is God. Therefore, Christ is our Creator. He was the Father's Word in all of creation. He was God and was with God at the start. God, the Word, created the world. Our Savior Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, our friend, is our maker. He was with God in the beginning. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we learn? Well, John's stunning description of Jesus Christ tells us the following. Jesus Christ, known as the Word, was there in the beginning. And if that wasn't significant enough, he was with God and was God. And there are echoes of Genesis 1 verse 1 there in John's opening couple of verses. We see that in the beginning is the same. God created is the same. John starts with Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. The creator becomes flesh. Jesus the Word, who became flesh and dwelt amongst us, was and is God. What an incredible statement to be able to make. What a stunning revelation. Now, has God ever stunned you by opening your eyes to see who Jesus really is? Because he is God, you should believe in him. Because he is God, you should submit everything in your life to him. Because he's creator, you should worship him as you see what he has made. Now, if you choose to ignore God's word, then you're making a serious mistake. Jesus is God. He is the authoritative word of God. Ignore him at your peril. So in John 1, verses 1 and 2, John declares that Jesus is the eternal word of God. Whilst he is distinct from the Father, he is equally God with the Father. And the Father has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. To know God, look to Jesus, because he is the eternal Word of God. Amen.